Great to have your company on Sports Day, Friday night. Well, 7:30 last night, the Premier Mark McGowan making the big statement that the borders will remain closed essentially from February 5. It's had wide-ranging implications for lots of people, including those in sport. Perth Glory, one club that's been heavily affected. The CEO, Tony Pignata, joins us for a chat. Tony, thanks for your time. We spoke to you before Christmas and you shed a tear or certainly had trouble sleeping over the quarantine scenario. And last night I saw on Twitter you were quite emotional about what's happening now.
Yeah, it's absolutely sort of flabbergasted after last night's announcement. When I saw the press release that he was making an announcement, I thought, oh, it's not great, but I was thought at least we'd have a date, and we don't. We don't know what's going on, when the borders will open. All we know that the government will have a look at it in a month's time, but that leaves us in no man's land at the moment.
Tony, what's the hardest part for you? Is it money? Is it players? Is it the club? Is it fans? What is it for you?
Oh, look, it's all that. We're going to, money aside, I feel for the players, staff, the families. I mean, I know we're a sport, but we're a livelihood for a lot of people as well. And, we're no different than the mining sector or whatever. A lot of our people at the club work to put food on the table, and, that's going to be in jeopardy at the moment. So, yeah, we're just trying to digest, what's happened and how we go about, trying to resolve this as soon as possible.
Tony, how do you keep, we're talking about the players in terms of performance, how do you keep them or get them back up after what they went through with the quarantine, now this, a double whammy, and you're expected to go out and try and grab 3 points?
Yeah, look, they're human. Look, Richie's got them focused. He had a chat with Richie today, and he's basically said to the players, just focus on getting the points. And let the club do what the club does, and that's what we're going to do. The players focus on the game, and I with others will try and resolve this issue for the players and the families as soon as we can. And it's not only the men; we've got our W League over in Sydney at the moment that were due to come home on February 6th. Now, what do we do with them? And they're not full time like the men. A lot of them have given up work to take a month off and finish the season. So, you got to feel for them as well.
Hopefully sport sometimes is a beautiful thing, and I can hear the pain in your voice, Tony, but hopefully it can bring people something to think about other than what's going on, because there's a lot of frustrated people here in Perth, and I know you guys over east have been frustrated as well, but I hope for your sake that that's what sport does. It gives us a bit of a way to deflect it. What would you like to see happen, Tony? What would you like to see with the club? Are you going to be able to get home? Where does all of this leave you?
Yeah, look, it's something we need to look at. I mean, at the moment, we can get home. We have to quarantine for 2 weeks, which then, places us in a quandary in terms of training and so forth. And we've just spent 2 weeks in the quarantine. And you saw last week when we came back after 42 days away not playing, we were very short of a match experience as well. So we don't want to do that. So, potentially we stay over east and finish the season, similar to what Wellington Phoenix have done. Or we get an understanding when the borders open and then we can plan accordingly. But, we've still got quite a few games. We've only played 5 games, so there's still another 21 games to play, and 12 of those are home games.
A lot of football on the East Coast if you have to complete the season there, Tony. That's a task that not too many clubs would... I know you mentioned Wellington, but that's a very big ask for this group.
Yeah, it is. And when you've got them away from families for, potentially 3 or 4 months, how does that look as well? And, the families, is a nucleus as well. You need that outlet after, playing sport and going home after, a day's work. You want that sort of outlet and see your kids as well. So, lucky enough, some of the players took their families over. Now they're stuck as well. And not only that, we need to be triple vax to come back, those who are eligible. So we now need to look at getting those doses for the people that require them to get back. So, look, there's a lot of questions. We're slowly working through them. But I suppose, you know, the goalposts have moved tremendously. You know, before we left, we knew Feb 5 was a date, but now that's off, and, you know, we're waiting now for the 90% double dose to go to 80 to 90% triple dose. So yeah, it's quite alarming, to be honest.
Tony, from a money point of view, is Perth Glory a chance of not continuing, folding? Is that a real risk?
Well, definitely. I mean, this is our third year now in COVID environment, and you know, the first year we had to sort of finish the season off in a hub in New South Wales. Last season we played a lot of games midweek, and we even had some games that were closed games, and capacity was reduced, so that cost us a lot. And our membership, from our high, you know, after our grand final and, you know, winning the Premier's Plate, of you know, 12,000 members, we're down now to, you know, 5,000. So, you know, 7,000 members at about $300 a pop, you do the maths, that's a few million that we've lost in revenue, and you can't get those people back because they've been now disenfranchised, disjointed, and you can understand that as well. So, yeah, it is very, very costly, and something that, you know, Tony Sage, you know, he's been fantastic, but, you know, how long can he continue to have this burden on him and his family as well?
Don't want to try and give it the media hype, but is Sagey a bit of a broken man at the moment on this front?
Yeah, look, we've had a bit of a chat, and I think we're both shattered last night, to be honest. Yeah, look, I'll be honest with you, I was in tears last night because, you know, everything you've done, and the work we got to get the players home for Christmas and charter in, and we had to get a charter to come out of Perth last week because there's no flights, with Qantas and Virgin and Jetstar basically not flying in and out every day. And then, you know, reassurance that, yeah, look, February 5 is looking okay, and now we've come over and we're locked out again, so... It is demoralising, but, you know, we'll pick ourselves up. That's what we do. And, you know, we'll sleep and we'll get up in the morning, the sun will come up, and we battle on.
Speaking of battling on, beaten by Brisbane, as you said, short of a gallop, Sydney FC. Any team news that you can impart? I'm sure it's not been front and centre of your mind, but the bounce-back factor, you're obviously hoping to get the boys up and be very competitive.
Yeah, look, Sydney are a very good team. You know, they've probably been the top team over the last few years. We don't have a great record against them, but, you know, it was great to see, you know, Sturridge come on and you know, I thought he did really well. Everyone's going to be better for the 90 minutes they played. And, yeah, you'll see that the players will come out and determined and want to, you know, get the 3 points. And basically, you know, as you said before, sport is great, but I always say sports is champagne and razor blades, so hopefully we can have a bit of champagne
tomorrow. I like that, Tony. I haven't heard that one before.
Oh, that's very good.
Yeah, you can use it.
Very good. I've written that one down on the back of my placemat right here, Tony. Daniel Sturridge, you meant him. You mentioned him. Is the plan with Daniel just keep increasing his game time and get him up into full match fitness and be able to release him towards the back end of the year?
Yeah, look, he had a good 25 minutes last game. He potentially, you know, I'm not sure what Rich is thinking, but, you know, he can probably play another 25-30 and build him up. And, you know, he's probably, you know, maybe two or three games away from playing a full 90. And, you know, you saw some brilliance of him on against Brisbane. So, yeah, hopefully he'll continue and, you know, he'll form a good partnership with Bruno and Andy up front.
Well, Tony, our thoughts are with you. We understand how tough it is. Well, we don't, actually. We're only just hearing from you how the pain in your voice and for the players, the staff. And we know the fans back here are certainly missing the prospect of you playing in the short to medium term. But plenty of eyeballs hopefully watching you against Sydney FC. We hope you do well. Hope you get the 3 points. And we'll be taking, hopefully there's more champagne than razor blades against Sydney FC tomorrow night.
I hope so. And look, the support I've got over Twitter over the last 24 hours has been amazing by the members and fans, and even, you know, fans from other clubs who feel for us. And I thank everyone. And, you know, we hopefully that we can come back and play in front of our home fans at HBF Park soon.
That'll be great. Tony, thanks for your time.
Pleasure.
Tony Pignata, the Perth Glory CEO, joining us on Sports Day, one of several WA clubs caught in limbo after the border was announced to be staying as up and upright and as strong as ever by Mark McGowan last night. Will they get home? Will they play any home matches in 2022? Remains to be seen. Stay with us. More to come right here on Sports Day.